brothers and sisters?
Two sisters. When I was born in 1945, I had two sisters waiting for me. My sister Marilyn, who was 16, and my sister Nancy, who was almost 14. So it was a great situation for Michael Wallace because I was born right at the end of the war, October 45. I was born to parents who really wanted one more child and hoped they would have a son. And I had these two great big sisters. So I had three mothers. Those first years were just tremendous. Well, all my years growing up were tremendous. My sister Nancy, unfortunately, is dead. She died some years ago of a whole bunch of complicated problems. My sister Marilyn, who's 82, I guess now, lives in Rolla, Missouri, right off Route 66. She's a widow and has a very nice life up in Rolla.
Your elementary school, your first school.
Well, I went right across the street from that house that I just told you about, Catty Corner, to Hudson School. Went there from K through 6. It was a great school. If you want to wait till later to talk about writing, that's where I really launched my writing career. Then I went to a Lutheran school for a couple of years. I went to a public high school for a couple of years, but I ended up going to Western Military Academy in Alton, Illinois. I certainly wasn't militaristic or anything, but I've always been a hopeless romantic, and I was really in love with history, and I really thought I should go to West Point. So my parents sent me to Western Military Academy, Alton, Illinois, a great old river town near St. Louis on the Mississippi. It was a huge sacrifice for them because it was very expensive to send me to prep school. And Western was an old school back to the 1870s. And a lot of illustrious people had graduated from Western. Sander Van Oker, you remember, great broadcaster. Butch O'Hara of O'Hara Airport. Haley, the TV magnate, all kinds of people. Thomas Hart Benton, the wonderful painter. So I went there, and by my senior year, I became a cadet officer, a lieutenant. I had more power for a 17-year-old than most have. You know, the plebes would brace for me, and it was like a miniature West Point. Beautiful school, which alas closed in the 70s when military schools became unpopular. I still keep in touch. We have a vast alumni association. I was well-rounded. I never, in my scholastic career, did anything traditional about it. I never worked on a school paper or the yearbook. I was an athlete, played all the sports, was very interested in drama, and became quite a thespian. My senior year, I was awarded an honor military school nomination to West Point. That was a pivotal moment, and the headmaster, Colonel Persing, this wise old owl, who we called, not to his face, Twitch, because he had an odd mannerism. Everybody had a nickname, Catcher in the Rye. He called me in. He was the man who spoke Greek, Latin, and German. And he said, Wallace, you can accept this and go to West Point. He said, but I must tell you, your math and science scores are a little dubious. He said, you will go there and end up with a degree in engineering, a second lieutenant in the Army. He said, I don't think it's for you. He said, you're in love with this architecture. You're in love with the sashes and the sabers and the history and the fact that Thomas Hart Benton was here and the tradition and all of that. He said, I just don't think it's for you. And we thought about it, and I decided not to.
So was that disappointing to you?
No. I thought it was a wise choice.
Before we move on, though, we need to bring you back to your days when you were 7, 8, 9, 10, because you had an opportunity to be up close to Stan Musial, the great slugger of the St. Louis Cardinals?
Yeah, well, that ties into one of my early writing experiences, because it's the moment I knew I wanted to be a writer. I was living in Rock Hill, this St. Louis suburb, right off Manchester Road, a.k.a. the original Route 66, where I had my first job, not too distant future from them, in journalism, selling the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on the shoulders of Route 66. But I was going to Hudson School, right across the street, an elementary school. And in the fifth and sixth grade, I was a school patrol boy. Many people don't remember that, but we wore those white webbed belts around our waist and diagonally across with our badge, and we would help the kids cross the street so they wouldn't be struck down. So by and by, AAA, the Automobile Association of Missouri, sponsored a contest, and that was to write an essay about what it meant to be a school patrol boy. My mother said, well, you should enter that. And I did. And I wrote an essay. God, I wish I had it, but I don't.
So you're how old?
About 11. And I won. Here was the prize. I guess it was Augie Bush, who owned the Cardinals. Somebody sent a car out to our house. Now, that was a big deal for anybody then. I mean, of course, I've ridden since in hundreds of limousines, but that was the first time I was ever in a limo. And probably the first time my dad was ever in a limo, truth be known. They picked us up, and we went down to Old Sportsman's Park. Now, that's three stadiums ago in St. Louis. St. Louis is a great baseball town, and I'm pure baseball. I still bleed Cardinal red. It's probably the best baseball city in the country. Old Sportsman's Park, Grandin Dodier. Went in there. They put my dad in a box seat and said, you can have all the beer and anything you want. And they took me down the field, and I said, you're going to sit in the dugout. And they put me in the dugout, and next to me on one side was Kenny Boyer, who played third base. I loved Kenny Boyer. And on the other side was Stan the Man Musial, number six. And I was catatonic. We were playing the Cubs. And Musial won the game, bottom of the ninth, with a walk-off home run. Down in my studio on the third floor of this building, amongst all my other treasures and icons, are signed balls from both Musial and Boyer. So we're going home that night in that car. And I'm, you know, on a tremendous high, and my dad's exhilarated. What an experience for his son, for him, the game. We talked about it, and I can still remember looking out the window of that car as we're driving back to Rock Hill, and I thought to myself, you know, this writing is not a bad thing to do. And that's when it hit me right there.
But it actually hit you in elementary.
Elementary school.
How did that come about, writing in elementary?
Again, it was all seeded by the storytelling that I heard from my mother and grandmother. My mother did some amateurs writing on her own. I remember she would always write. She wrote little short stories and poems, and she'd send them in the women's magazines. I don't believe any of them ever got published. She was very naive that way, but I saw her in the act of writing.